Today on Book, Chapter, and Verse, let's examine the greatest question ever asked. What must I do to be saved?
Words, those wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Greetings and welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. My name is Jeff Archie, and I'm honored that you would tune in and study the Word of God together. There's no greater book for us to consider than the wonderful words of life, the Holy Bible. And via Book, Chapter, and Verse, we're able to understand what God would have us to do. Coming up, we're going to be sharing with you some information that will help you in your personal study. And also, we'll be interested in you and knowing more about you as we study the Word of God together. Now, one thing that we want to offer on this broadcast, everything we offer is absolutely free. We're not going to put your name on a list or do anything else. It stays right here at Book, Chapter, and Verse. So coming up, we'll have more on that. But for right now, let's get into our Book, Chapter, and Verse. And today we want to consider Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 30 through 34. I love this passage. It takes the darkness of a night and brings forth the light of a better day. It takes the depths of a dungeon and brings us forth to a hallowed halls of a house that will obey the gospel. It takes stripes upon a person's back wherein there were beatings, and it lashes a beating upon sin that same night. Oh, let's read it together. Acts 16, beginning with verse 30. The Bible says, "And brought them out, that being Paul and Silas, and the Philippian jailer." The Philippian jailer. "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Oh, I love that first question. He brought them out, and he asked the question of all questions. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Earlier, he pitched them in. Now, he's pleading with them. He's facing death, and now he longs for life. Let's break down the greatest question that this man, he was asking. He was troubled. Let's break this question down. What must I do to be saved? What is a question? Must? There's no other choice. It's got to be done. I? That's a personal matter. Can't blame anyone else. That's a question that you and I individually have to answer. Do? There is action there. It's going to take a change. It's going to take a decision. Two, aiming toward? To accomplish the fact, to accomplish what we wish to do. B, a total change, unlike before. Something great is coming. And saved, the total opposite of loss. A life that is set for Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Let's answer the question. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Number one, that was the first reply. And this he heard. He asked, and here is the answer. But he kept listening. When he said, what must I do to be saved? He kept listening. You know, Jesus in Matthew 15:10 called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. When we hear, we've got to keep listening. Help me answer my question, and I want to listen till I get the complete answer, and then I want to do something with it. In John 6:45, the Bible says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." You see, it's not only enough that we hear, we've got to learn to listen. Concerning the man that was born blind in John 9:35-36, when he was healed by Christ, the Bible says, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Whoa, time out. You were just healed? And Jesus said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Well, who is he? You see, Jesus, if you have healed me, then tell me more. I'm listening. That was the attitude of the eunuch in Acts 8:30-31. When Philip ran to him in that desert land, and Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading? Understand what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" I hear you, Philip, but I'm listening. I want to know more. And so what did he do? He desired Philip to come up and sit with him. He heard. What did he hear? Believe on Christ. He heard, that's what you do. He heard, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." He heard. He heard he needed to believe. Do you suppose he was believing on Christ up until that point? If he was, he sure had a funny way of showing it, you have to admit. When he came in and fell down before them, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, you think about it. When that earthquake happened and they were all free to run, he very well could have lost his life because he failed in what he did. Some seem to think, "What must I do to be saved?" would be a question like, "How can I save myself from what I'm about to face?" But every indication we see, it was the spiritual answer. Stop and think. He heard Paul and Silas singing. No doubt he was privy to everything that had gone on that put him in jail to begin with. And he heard he needed to believe. Jesus reminds us in John 8:24, "If you believe that not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." John 20:30-31 teaches us that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The jailer wanted to have life through the name of Christ. Nobody can doubt or disagree that hearing and believing is vital concerning one's salvation. But if you stay with the text, the account doesn't stop in verse 31. It keeps going in verse 32. "What must I do to be saved?" Verse 32 said, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that was in his house." He had to keep hearing. Like the man born blind, and like the jailer, he needed to know more in order to believe. How do I go about this? And however, what word of the Lord had been heard previously? What had been said to others prior to this time in Acts 16? We know the message of repentance was preached. Jesus commanded that in Luke 13:3-5. "Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." On the day of Pentecost, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" in Acts 2:37, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When he heard, and we see the Bible says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." The word of the Lord, no doubt, had to embrace repentance, for Jesus taught it and his apostles preached it. Let me tell you what else the Word of the Lord talks about. How about confession of Christ? Listen to the words of the Lord, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, it's interesting that in the time of Christ, there were those that understood the need of confessing him, not believing on him only, but confessing him. Look at John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do you think the praise of men would have saved them? Oh, they believed on him, but they didn't confess him. Their faith didn't really move them anywhere. But oh, did that eunuch believe in Christ? In Acts 8, 37, Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart, you may what? Well, you may be baptized in that text. But he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, my friends, if those words were spoken before, no doubt these words would be taught after. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord teaches us the importance of repentance and the importance of confession. But let's stay in verse 33 and see what happened. What must I do to be saved? Verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He washed, and he was washed through baptism. Baptism is beautiful. Mark 16, 16 teaches us that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Once again, we go to Acts 2, 38, to where Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 22, 16, Paul is telling the story as he was Saul. And he came to that question, and the question was, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. Now I want you to notice some things, what happened there in verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night. Nobody delayed their obedience in the New Testament. You know, in the New Testament, you don't find obedience, if you will, staggered. Nobody delayed their obedience in the New Testament. For example, if I just stay in my Bible and I go back, and I mentioned moments ago, Acts 2 and verse 38, to where Peter commanded them to be baptized. Watch this. Verse 39, he continues, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer many other words. They continued to spake unto him the word of the Lord. In other words, it just didn't stop with, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your house. They instructed to him how to do it. And when they instructed to him how to do it, even here on the day of Pentecost, Peter was instructing. With many other words did he testify. He supported what he was saying. He exhorted, he built, he pleaded. Look, you need to know this. Because of Christ dying for us, because his tomb is empty, you have an opportunity to make things right. That prick in your heart, that hurt in your heart can be changed, can be addressed, can be taken care of. Save yourselves from this untoward or crooked or perverse generation. Come out of this. What happened? Look at verse 41 of chapter 2 of Acts. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were baptized that same day. They didn't delay their obedience. When they saw what they needed to do, they did it. You know, I've known people to delay obedience. I've known of good, sincere people that would believe and they would declare their salvation through a prayer, and then they'd be baptized later. But the Bible doesn't lay it out that way. I mean, this same day, isn't it something that they did the same day, that same day, and the jailer that same hour? That's from Acts 2 to Acts 16. Let's kind of come in the middle, if you will, in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we find that Philip went down to Samaria. In verse 5, he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed or paid attention unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In the first century, we know that miracles and healings and things were done in order to affirm what they were teaching. But as we drop down, verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There is no delay or no understanding that they delayed their obedience what they needed to do. Isn't it something that when Philip taught the eunuch about Christ, and in Acts 8, verse 36, they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. That phrase is rather interesting. A certain water. Certain for the fact that it had to be just right. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's water. What's hindering me? What's stopping me? Philip, you've preached about the kingdom. You've preached about the kingdom, the church. You've preached about these things. You've preached about the authority of Christ. What's hindering me from being baptized? Here is water. Here it is. What's stopping me? And Peter said, or rather Philip, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now I want you to think with me. From Acts 2 to twice in Acts 8 and now Acts 16, they did not delay their obedience. They saw what they needed to do, and they did not delay it. They said, this is something I need to do, and I need to do it now. And that's what they did. And I would submit unto you, kind friend, that that's what all of us can do this very day. We don't delay from doing that very thing that God commands. And as we have noted through this study, when we think about what was said so clearly, and in verse 30, when he brought them out and he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. The word of the Lord brought unto them, what did it mean to believe on Christ? It embraced repentance, it embraced confession, and we know it embraced baptism because the same hour of the night when he had washed their stripes, he was baptized. He and all his immediately. It was a household of obedience. And then you and I see where they rejoiced. See, for a moment we might have thought that's the end of the story. Rejoicing is not the end. Rejoicing is the beginning. He rejoiced. I love that. He had brought them into his house. He had cast them into another place. Now he's brought them into his house. He fed them. Let me give you something, for you gave me everything. He rejoiced. Believing in God with all of his house, he continued believing. No doubt this jailer grew in Christ. For our faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that faith that we are obedient, the faith of which we obey, we're able to grow. In the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're able to grow and add to that faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance self or patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. That's a great text to remind us that we are to grow in Christ. Actually, it's 2 Peter chapter 1. I like to get the book, the chapter, and the verse, and make sure. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the initial faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in your house. Well, how? Oh, I believe in Christ. Done. No. We can see that throughout the Bible. It's just not there. But they were able. With they spake unto him the words of the Lord. And we know they spake unto him about repentance, for Jesus taught it, and it had already been preached. And confession, as Jesus taught it, and it had been preached. And yes, baptism, as Jesus taught it, and it had been preached. And isn't it something? At that same hour of the night, they were baptized. They didn't delay that. They did not wait till the whole city could come together for a mass baptism. No, that same hour of the night. And they went on their way rejoicing. Don't you love the way? Don't you love a good end to an account or to a story? He rejoiced believing in God with all of his house. What had taken him to his knees in pleading, he's now in his house rejoicing. You know, the TV show's got some age on it. It was called The A-Team back years ago, but I can remember a line from that show when the leader would look up and he'd say, "I love it when a plan comes together." Well, you know what? I love it when a plan comes together. I love it to when a question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And we can take that text and we can see what they said and we can see what they taught and we can see what he did and we can see he rejoiced. I love that. What must I do to be saved? And we have discussed that tonight, or this hour, and we've discussed that about that night when he received his answer. And coming up, we'll share with you how you can have that same answer, how that question can be answered for you. And it's all through the pages of the Word of God. As he heard about belief. He learned about repentance and confession and baptism, and then rejoiced that he had a life of faithfulness in which to walk. That's what he did to be saved, and that's what we do to be saved. Again, coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about how we can make this happen in your life, but for now, let's enjoy this hymn together.
My Savior is living in heaven right now. Many loved ones are waiting to go. Those mansions are ready to welcome us home. My Savior, He loves me so. I want to see heaven, my Savior is there. The gates made of pearl, those streets of pure gold. The light from God's throne will surround us with love. How lovely, it's great to be home. That city is ready, Christ Jesus is there. His kingdom prepares us to come. My heart must be ready to see that great day. My Savior, He loves me so. I want to see heaven, my Savior is there. The gates made of pearl, those streets of pure gold. The light from God's throne will surround us with love. How lovely, it's great to be home.
My womb to carry all my woes. May I ever walk beside thee till this earthly life shall close.
What must I do to be saved is best answered with the Bible. I trust we've answered that question today, and let's always go to the Bible to find those answers concerning the salvation of God.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.